Up next on Behind the Mic, I speak with Dan Kirkendall, the developer of PodPress, a powerful plugin built for the WordPress blogging platform. We talk about how Dan first got involved in podcasting, some of his early projects, as well as the powerful feature set he's built into the PodPress plugin from the Gigavox Media Network. This is Michael Gohagan from Gigavox Media, and today I'm pleased to bring you another edition of our series Behind the Mic on the Podcast Academy channel.
This program is underwritten by Marantz Professional, the official recorders of podcasting. Learn about Marantz's innovative digital recorders for podcasting at marantzpro.com. This program is sponsored by BSW, your low-price source for audio equipment. Visit BSW and check out their special podcast packages designed for podcasters on any budget on the web at bswusa.com. If you'll be attending the Podcast and Portable Media Expo at the end of September, and we hope you will, why not come by one day early on September 28th and attend a special one-day podcast academy crammed full of sessions for the professional podcaster. We've even got a half day of classes by instructors on the leading edge of video. There are just a few seats left, so hurry over to podcastacademy.com.
And now, here's Behind the Mic. Welcome to Behind the Mic, Gigavox Media's weekly look at podcasting, video casting, and all the excitement that is this new media. And today I am pleased to have a guest by the name of Dan Kirkendall. And Dan is the person behind kind of the famous plugin for podcasting used in WordPress, and it's called, as you might expect, PodPress. So first of all, Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, Dan, let's start out. Tell us a little bit about your background. Are you a programmer by training?
Yeah, I'm, I guess, a geek by training, but I do application development or web application development. I've been doing for, I guess, about 8 or 9 years, and prior to that was just doing normal IT stuff.
And now, I read somewhere you're involved in security software, is that correct?
Yeah, currently, or what I've been doing for the last 5.5 years has been all around security. I actually did security in IT space as well, but then I started doing it professionally when I went with Foundstone, and I helped develop their web application interface to their security scanner. And so that was a lot of fun. Then I actually joined up with a few guys and in starting up a web application security company, so completely focused on web application security, and I basically spend my day hacking into websites and then getting my team of developers to automate the concepts I have for attacking the site.
Well, it's kind of, you get paid to hack.
Get paid to hack.
That sounds like a good gig. Well, now let me ask you, how did you get involved in podcasting to start?
So in 2005, around February, March, I don't know where I heard about it, but I stumbled upon it and immediately fell in love and very quickly wanted to get involved in the community. So I think your show actually was one of my first podcasts that I subscribed to.
Really?
Yeah. It was the your movie, Real Reviews.
Sure, right.
Movies worth watching.
Yeah, films worth watching.
Or films worth watching. All right. It's been a while since you had an episode.
No, we just put one out last week where I explained why it's been out, why I haven't had one out for a while.
Oh, man. Well, see, now I got so many podcasts. I'm, of course, still subscribed, but I got so many that I hadn't noticed. But anyway, I fell in love with it and very quickly started my own and wanted to just start getting involved. And so I contacted Chris McIntyre from Podcast Alley. Said, you know, told him I'm a developer out there. You know, go Google me. I'm well known. I've done a lot of open source work. And he did so, and he brought me in, and I started helping out over there.
And was this during the first kind of redesign of Podcast Alley?
Yeah. It was at the point where he was starting to get enough traffic where the site was getting really slow.
Yes, I remember those days well.
Yeah, so I went in, and we didn't change the look all that much. But I completely redesigned the code driving the site so it can handle the load. And that got them through to the point where, you know, they got bought by Podshow. And there was this effort we called My Alley. Within Podcast Alley, you can actually subscribe to the podcast on there. And using, well, what's now Juice, you can actually subscribe to your OPML. So it was really cool because you can go in there, you know, you vote for shows, you can subscribe to shows, everything, and just manage your entire podcast there. And basically Juice, or what was it called, iPodder back then?
That was iPodder Lemon.
iPodder Lemon. You could subscribe to the OPML there, and it was basically headless then. You wouldn't even really interact with it anymore. It would constantly pull from your list coming from Podcast Alley, and you're basically managing everything through Podcast Alley, which is really neat. You know, you could be at work and subscribe to something, and it's downloaded on your desktop at home, you know, that's constantly checking. So it was really cool. It was a lot of fun, and it kind of is what spawned the initial concepts around what Podshow wanted to do.
Right.
And, again, I was just doing it for free. I was just doing it to have fun. And so when they got bought, or when Chris's site got bought, I, you know, backed off and let them hire their developers because I was busy enough with my own full-time work.
Now, you also had some involvement in the kind of the first iteration of iTunes. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, Apple had approached the directories for data. They really, you know, and they wanted to, there were some previews. I know Adam talked about it on his podcast. And basically, I helped put together some of the data from Podcast Alley and iPodder so that, you know, they could pour into their database. So it was really just providing them a data dump. And that was kind of fun because it was, you know, we were kind of on the inside track. And, you know, of course, Apple did their own thing. And like it or not, you know, there's some good and bad. But, you know, they took the data and did what they wanted with it. You know, I talked to some of the people within Apple, and they're good guys. You know, they've helped me out when I've had issues with iTunes, so it's pretty neat.
Well, let's talk a little bit about PodPress. Now, for somebody that isn't aware, kind of what's your, you know, quick and simple explanation behind what PodPress does?
Okay, well, there's a lot of blogging tools out there, WordPress being one of them. And WordPress is a really good one and has really good support for plugins. So initially, I was actually starting to work with, what's that other program? I can't forget. It's actually a podcast web application where it's just really for managing a podcast. And I looked at that, the code was a mess, and it needed a lot of blogging features. So I didn't feel like adding that much code to it.
Was that like Loudblog or something?
Loudblog, that's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah, I talked to the developer, and I was actually getting set up to do development there. And I just, you know, I talked to him like, this needs a lot of blogging features that just, you know, are going to take a lot of work. So I thought, you know, the other way to take a good blogging tool and add the podcasting features.
That was less work, essentially.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought. you know, what, 4 or 5 months later, I'm not sure, but anyway, what PodPress is basically taking and adding all of the features, at least that I could do and you know, gotten done this far, is all of the features that a podcaster could use within their blog, to take the blog and really make it a full-featured podcasting solution. And that's been my effort with PodPress. And I guess part of the effort also is to make sure that there's a free solution, because there's a lot of commercial solutions cropping up. I wanted to have a podcaster have a full-featured, top-of-the-line application that was free to really allow the podcasting community to keep up, you know, not to fall behind all these commercial solutions that are going to, you know, pop up from time to time.
Right. Well, now, what are some of the key features of PodPress?
Well, a couple of the key features are, I guess, the player. And that's, you know, I didn't develop the player itself, but what a lot of people like is that it's very easy to add your MP3, so or whatever media file format. It could be video or MP3, whatever. PodPress handles tons of formats. So it puts a player, it embeds the player into the site for each post, and it automatically handles all of the feed stuff. So it cleans up your RSS feed so that it's fully compliant. It has all of the tags necessary so that it looks good in iTunes and all of the other directories. And then one of the other key features is, again, iTunes being the, you know, 800-pound gorilla, as you're configuring things, you're configuring your feed, it shows you an exact preview of what your podcast will look like in iTunes. And I've actually been working on a preview for other directories, so it'll show you what it looks like in Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle and you know, so on. But the goal is so you know as you're configuring it exactly what you're going to look like to the world, and then the rest just works, right? You have a player, you have your feed set up, you're done.
Speaking of iTunes, because, you know, it's interesting. iTunes is, it's pretty straightforward, I guess, if you kind of sit down and read the spec and you're comfortable maybe getting in there with a text editor and editing, you know, in the case of WordPress, the file that's going to build your RSS feed. But for the average person, you know, that's probably the number one question I get is, you know, how do I make this thing look correct in iTunes? And is there a way to preview it? And my understanding is in PodPress, you actually have kind of like a preview page that says, all right, if we enter all this information, this is what this thing's going to look like in the iTunes directory. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's actually in real time as well. So as you're typing in, you know, and you leave a field, it'll immediately show you how that is going to look in iTunes. So you don't have to keep submitting and re-looking at it. It's all real time happening on screen. As you add an image, it'll, you know, immediately show it there. You know, as you type in the description, it'll immediately show you in the preview.
Mm-hmm.
So you do get a real sense. You don't have to, you really shouldn't have to ever look at the spec. You know, it has drop downs for all the categories and the whole thing. So, you know, without having to ever deal with the spec, it's just, you know, fill it in and see exactly how it's going to look right away. And you don't have to wait 2 weeks for iTunes to catch up.
Sure. Now, what are some of the other, I see here, I'm kind of looking at a list that I'm going down. One is that you have podcast download stats.
Yeah, that was a feature somewhat recent. I guess PodPress isn't that old anyway, but yeah, I do have stats. So, you know, if you're not using a service like Libsyn or FeedBurner or any of these other services, you can still get stats. And I think the stats are pretty good. I look at, you know, I store all the data into the database so you can deal with it how you want, but I give you several views as well. And so you can see, like, total stats, unique stats, everything. I try to give as much data as I can about the downloads.
Now, how are you capturing that information?
It's a simple redirect. So the URL to your MP3 is modified, and, you know, as it looks like in the feed. And I actually will show you how the users are downloading it, because the URL put in the feed is different from the URL that's used in the online player and different from the download link. So you can actually see how people are consuming your content.
Oh, wow. Now, does that only work if you are storing this MP3 on the same box as or same server as your WordPress blog, or can you store things remotely?
You can store it remotely. Yeah, it doesn't matter at all. It's, again, it's just a redirect, so, you know, it takes, it, you know, it gives you this URL that shows up. And again, it's transparent to the admin of the site, really. But it does redirect. So it adds, you know, that's one, I guess, technical issue, is that it adds another redirect. And most podcatchers have a limit.
Correct.
So you can't stack up too many. Like, if you had, PodTrack.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. I mean, and so for somebody that's listening, that this might be going a little bit over their head, a number of these different services that want to capture essentially the same information, counts, download statistics, or at least you know, estimations, allow for this redirect so that when you know, essentially the podcatcher, for example, comes to fetch this file, it kind of has to go on a little bit of a route to get to it, and as part of that travel, there's essentially a computer that can kind of count it and say, "Oh, okay, you're coming through the door to go get the file. You know, we're gonna add another one to the count for these podcasts." But there were some concerns a couple months ago where if you pile up enough of these services, a PodTrack, a FeedBurner, a PodPress, I don't know what the magic number is, but some of the podcatching clients were failing to actually get the file because there were too many redirects in a row. Is that? Now, I'm not the technical guy, but did I get that pretty right?
Exactly right. There was a limit. Basically, you know, like you say, that each one of these things that are counting is, you know, you're going to, you know, the your podcatcher is going there and it's saying, oh, no, no, it's actually over here. And it gets fed up with, you know, being given the runaround, essentially. So I think the magic number has really kind of settled into 3.
Okay.
Sometimes 4, but 3 is the safest.
Okay. You also have something called support for premium content. What's that do?
Yeah, well, this is actually partially handled in PodPress and then partially handled with another tool called A-Member Pro. What PodPress can do is you are able to, in WordPress, there's account management, right? It's very basic, but there's an account management system. So you can put people into different groups. So what's very cool, though, is in PodPress, you can define for each media file. So if you had, you know, multiple media files in a single post, it can handle that as well. And each media file, you can specify which group is allowed to get this content. Normally, you set it to anybody, right, to anonymous. It doesn't matter. But if you had special content, you could say only premium subscribers can have this content. And then what happens is on the post on the site, if you're not logged in, it just shows that there would be content here.
Right.
There's protected content. There's no download links. So all it is it's hiding the location to the files. It's not actually protecting the files themselves. That's where a tool like A-Member Pro comes in, and I have hookups with them, and they actually protect the download, the file itself.
Okay.
But, you know, that costs, I think it's like $130. So if you're really serious about protecting your content, you can put the two tools together and get a real solution. If you're not overly concerned and just the fact that the URL is hidden is enough, then PodPress alone would work. If you're not a premium subscriber, it won't show up in the feed, it won't show up on the website, it won't show up anywhere. Actually, Rush Limbaugh, he had added podcasting support to his show. And he had two phases. The first phase was this custom little application you would download. And I wouldn't really call it real podcasting. It just downloaded the MP3s to your machine, and then you had to copy them yourself to iTunes or whatever. But then he revamped it so that it would work with iTunes. And that got me real interested, because I dug into the first one. I'm a network geek, so I looked through all the protocol stack and everything, and it just couldn't, you know, make a tool out of that. But then when he did it to work with iTunes, I learned that iTunes actually supports authenticated feeds. And so then I used that technology, same exact solution, so that when they're actually subscribed to your feed, they'll actually be asked for their username and password, and that way they would get premium content.
Is that a feature that does it get used much? A lot of people keep asking about it, but are you seeing a lot of people actually using it outside of say a Rush Limbaugh?
There's a couple. I have a couple users, and one of them does like a show where they teach Japanese or something like that, and he has some parts that are free and some that are protected. He actually has like 3 levels of membership. And so I actually built it to handle levels of membership and everything, just because he was a good user and would give me good feedback. So I worked with him.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I think right now, nobody knows how to build a business model around it. I still maintain the feature and work on it to make sure that it's solid and, you know, doesn't get messed up. But I worked on it so that, again, part of my goal is that the community has a free tool.
Right.
And that's part of it.
Now, what about video?
It does handle videos. It handles even PDFs. You know, whatever. It handles a large number of formats, and it has players. It uses the players. It'll use a QuickTime plugin for your browser or Windows Media Player, whatever. It'll handle any of those kind of things. It'll use those to play the file
right
in the website or as a pop-up so that, you know, if you want to continue browsing, you can have the media playing in a separate window.
And how long have you been working on this?
I started in February, and I had actually taken, there was a tool called iPodCatter or something like that. It was a plugin. I took that as my basis and just totally, you know, took it to a whole nother level. And that was kind of the initial concept. I just did it for myself, and then I released it as a way to promote my podcast.
Now, and what is your podcast?
It's a web application security podcast.
Okay, so right up your kind of getting paid to hack alley, so to speak.
Yeah, and there's a lot of fun there, and definitely recommend going checking out, even for beginners. Actually do something I think is kind of a first. I do hands-on podcasting.
Well, no, what does that mean?
I go through and I tell you how to hack, okay? But I'm not just telling you verbally. There's actually a site set up that you go to, and you follow along. And I have in my show notes cut and paste strings. You can actually cut and paste them yourself. And you're hacking this. You know, it's an application I developed so that users can do this and experiment.
Right.
And see the results. But you're following along, hacking this site, and I'm just increasing the degree of difficulty as I go along. And by the end, you actually see the hack take place. And, you know, and I have a couple different iterations of the hacks, but... and then you can stay on the site and practice and do other things. But I think it's kind of a first. I haven't found anybody else that's actually more than just telling the user what to do, but is actually stepping them through it and letting them experience it for themselves.
You can play along at home.
Yeah, definitely. And I try to make it useful for just listening, but you really get the benefit if you're following along.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, in looking through the list of features that PodPress has, and again, this can be found, we'll say it once at the end here, but it can be found at mightyseek.com. That's M-I-G-H-T-Y-Seek, S-E-E-K.com. I mean, you'd be the expert, but I'm not aware of any other tools that are this extensive, particularly as a blogging tool plugin. But even, you know, some of the standalone applications don't seem to be this extensive.
No, I think at this point, commercial or otherwise, PodPress is the fully featured tool.
And now you've mentioned a few times it's really important for this to be a kind of a free plugin for the community. Tell me about that. Why do you feel so strongly about that?
Well, I think a lot of it, I guess, is two parts. My background in open source software. I've spent years developing open source software, PHP Groupware being probably the largest project I worked on for a large period of time. I started that project. And that was an effort to create an open source free groupware solution along the lines of MS Exchange and Lotus Notes and those kind of tools. I've kind of really as a you know, professional, a computer professional, grown up with that. You know, I've kind of grown in my career with that. So I just have that natural instinct as far as software development is concerned. But then podcasting is very grassroots. And I don't want the commercial world to be able to take it, you know what I mean?
Right.
And really just kind of dominate. So, you know, I love the vibe. I love the community. You know, I love the grassroots. And I want the commercial side to continue developing. And I'm interested to see what's going to happen there. But I would loathe the time when the grassroots couldn't keep up.
Right.
And so, you know, it's when Podcast Alley, you know, went with Poncho, I had some free time to do software development. And so this is my way that I can continue helping the community.
Well, now, does it ever, I mean, you know, I just got to ask because I'm curious. I mean, does it ever frustrate somebody when you work on a project like that, you know, for free, basically, to help out, and then you kind of see it get scooped up? I mean, you know, from a developer standpoint, how do you feel about that?
Well, it's, you know, the code itself is protected using the GPL license. So what that means is that anybody could take the software and continue developing it.
Mm-hmm.
But any changes they make, you know, if they're going to release this package to anybody, has to be released as well. The code has to be released.
Right.
So I'm protected from anybody, quote-unquote, stealing my code. And I guess I'm also not overly concerned that somebody's going to do a better job because, you know, I guess my ego, I think I'm a pretty darn good developer. So it's going to take some serious effort to keep pace with me.
That's a good answer. Any other projects related to podcasting you're working on?
No, I'm trying to trying to keep things under control, and PodPress and my podcast are probably enough for right now.
Right. Well, perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dan. And just to make sure, once again, anybody that's interested, now PodPress is a plugin, can be used for WordPress. Are there any plans to port this to any of the other blogging software, or is anybody trying to do that?
Well, there's a multi-user version of WordPress that I'll be supporting soon, and there is talk of potentially porting the functionality to other blogging tools, but nothing that I'm really seriously putting any effort into.
And it. Yeah, and when you know, when I see kind of what, when you were talking about kind of the community spirit of podcasting, you know, it seems to me, and this is not a scientific number, but probably 9 times out of 10, if the people are using a blog, it's a WordPress powered blog.
Yeah, and I've actually converted a lot of people to WordPress.
Right.
Because they want to use PodPress. So they're like, all right, I'm moving to WordPress.
Well, now, if you do use WordPress, here's a question. How do you link to an MP3 file and not have it go into the RSS feed?
Actually, it's one of the features of PodPress. You can actually, for each media file that you add, you tell it, you know, also RSS can only handle one enclosure at a time. So for each media file that you add, there's a checkbox. Do you want it in the Atom feed? And or the RSS feed, and so you can uncheck both, and it wouldn't be in the feed.
Right.
But it would still be on the website. It would still have its player and all that kind of stuff. It just wouldn't be in the feed.
Yeah, you know, because I every now and then I run my sites off of WordPress, and I'd want to link to somebody's movie file or MP3 and say, you know, it's over here. Go check it out. But unfortunately, the minute you link to it, WordPress wanted to wrap it up into an enclosure. As part of that automation, I actually paid somebody, the developer, I mean, I did pay him separately for this, but last time I had him work on my site, he built a plugin that would allow me to click a box and say, I'm going to link to a media file, but don't put it in the feed.
That's actually the problem I had, is I didn't like WordPress's automated feature, because if I ever went back and edited the URL, it didn't pick it up half the time.
Right.
It was so inconsistent.
Well, the problem was, I had this popular podcast, and I'd want to use it as a blog and link to somebody, and God forbid I'm going to send 12,000 downloads to this guy, and I just want to point out he's got a cool little, home movie up on his site or something. I'm going to suck all his bandwidth just by linking to him.
Yeah, no, with PodPress, it's totally configurable.
Right. Well, perfect. Well, once again, PodPress is available at mightyseek.com, and Dan, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us today.
Well, really, pleasure, and it was very nice meeting you. And I'll chat with you again soon, but really appreciate it.
Thank you. You've been listening to Behind the Mic.
This program is underwritten by Marantz Professional, the official recorders of podcasting. Learn about Marantz's innovative digital recorders for podcasting at marantzpro.com. This program is sponsored by BSW, your low-price source for audio equipment. Visit BSW and check out their special podcast packages designed for podcasters on any budget on the web at bswusa.com. If you'll be attending the Podcast and Portable Media Expo at the end of September, and we hope you will, why not come by one day early on September 28th and attend a special one-day podcast academy crammed full of sessions for the professional podcaster. We've even got a half day of classes by instructors on the leading edge of video. There are just a few seats left, so hurry over to podcastacademy.com. The post-production audio engineer for this program was Paul Figiani. The website editor and series producer for this program was Sean Osteen.
My name is Michael Gohagan, and I hope you'll join me next time for another edition of Behind the Mic on the GigaVox Media Network.